everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast. Another big week of footy in the national champs got underway. Well, today when we're recording this, on last weekend when you're listening to this, where SA got up by 12 points against the Allies in quite a fascinating game. Another week of talent league to go through. But the first game we will talk about is this national championships game where South Australia got up 87-75 at Thurbarden Oval, which was a pretty entertaining game for a first opening game of the championships. SA were pretty much trailing for most of the day in a really, really big third quarter comeback almost. And it was goal for goal in that last quarter. But the SA boys got up against an Allies team who, well, was undefeated last year and obviously a different look this year. But big win to start the champs for the South Australians.
Yeah, certainly. And there were plenty of talent leaguers in action for the Allies outfit. But we will go through all of the players because obviously we're going to be watching all of these championships games and there's interest for these prospects across Australia. We'll start with the Allies, though, and we'll start with Leo Lombard, who has spent some time in the Coates Talent League playing for the Gold Coast Academy. He's one you've really had a close eye on throughout the early parts of this season and last season as well. Obviously, the Gold Coast VFL Premiership player as a 16-year-old got his champs off to a flying start from all reports.
Yeah, well, he might have been pretty close to best on ground with that performance. It's his natural strength at the contest that stands out. He's a very poised player and he knows when to impact and when to sit back a little bit, hold his width on the outside and also make an impact through that. Really good composure with ball in hand, and that's typical in his performances throughout last year and this year, even when we saw him through the academy as well. And he was impactful in forward as well. Kicked a really big goal in the third quarter where he burst through, you know, ripping apart two opponents and running into an open goal, but was terrific in the end. And I thought if he was anything to critique on his game, probably just when he's got a lot of confidence, he may take on just a little bit too much. And he had one moment where he did that, but he still got the free kick for it. So everything went well for him. He was just spectacular for the Allies, and he'll be their best player, you could probably argue, in every game they play.
Good time to be a Gold Coast Suns supporter with the academy kids they've got coming through. Also a good time to be a Tasmanian with the AFL team coming in a few years. They had a few players in action, including Oli Dipoli Qbank. He's one who laid a few tackles on the day. His pressure's been pretty good to start the season, and he's someone who catches the eye.
Yeah, well, his tackle pressure was terrific. I think up to halftime he already had 7 tackles, and he kicked 2 really, really nice goals. The first goal, unfortunately, the stream cut out when you just heard the commentator say what a terrific finish by Dipoli Qbank. But his second goal was terrific as well. Just his ability to stay composed inside 50, read the intercept well from a kick-in, just bounced around 2 players and walked into an open goal. And then it was his running capacity that I think outlasted most of the boys come the second half when the Allies were chasing the lead quite a lot. His ability to run and generate some carry on the outside and also provide as an option, I thought in transition, was terrific on his behalf. And I think it's a really nice game for him to build off.
That's really good to hear from his perspective. Fellow Tasmanian Lenny Douglas had a couple of shots on goal as well, I think. But Sam Marshall and Nathaniel Solsberger, a couple of players who have represented the Sandy Dragons. Nathaniel Solsberger representing the Allies courtesy of his Tassie background, boarding at Melbourne Grammar at the moment, and Sam Marshall, a Brisbane Lions Academy product. Would those two add to the lineup?
Yeah, well, I'll start with Sam Marshall. Just general strength and composure around the contest. Won all his 50-50s really well and just was doing those little 1% things good around the centre stoppages, around general contests around the ground, and creates his own space with the ball in hand and was able to generate some really easy and nice handballs off in transition and get the ball moving forward, which is what the Allies were doing really well in the first half compared to SA, where they were really struggling with that final kick inside 50. And Nathaniel Salzberger, yeah, well, he's a really neat player, just understands how to get rid of it and lower his eyes and always find that next option really well. In terms of offense, that was where he was really productive, I thought, was lowering his eyes inside 50 and, you know, a few kicks where it would just miss the target, but it was always the right idea and they were never ineffective kicks. They would just, you know, they would always either slip through or miss the forward just by that centimeter. But he's just got the right idea. He understands his fundamentals really well and just tactically moving offensively. He's really neat and polished in that sense.
Good to hear and to think about the fact that they've performed well at national championships level and they're going to come back into a full strength Sandy outfit at the end of the year is something that's ominous for the rest of the competition. But last one from a talent league perspective that I think we're going to touch on today is Josh Murphy. His one-on-one strength had me predicting him to be the CTL leading goal kicker at the start of the year, and I think he showed that in the first quarter from what you've told me.
Yeah, well, he would have won best on ground if you talk about a first quarter. He finished with 3 goals, had 2 goals in that first quarter, but he's always been known for his leading patterns, like that power. He's almost unbeatable from a one-on-one perspective when he just generates those first couple steps and gets to that sort of 40 to 50 metre range where he's hands in front. He'll always take that mark. And the 2 goals he kicked were sensational set shots. Like a general comment, they were amazing set shots from that distance and that type of angle. Pretty much the same shot. He actually had 3 shots from the exact same kind of spot. One did miss, but he was productive for most of the first half, kind of dropped away for a little bit, but in the fourth quarter kicked a really good goal, a crucial goal really to keep them in it. And it was a different type of goal. He used his body work to kind of create separation rather than that leading power that he usually has. So it was a pretty good game for Josh, I guess. You know, moving forward, it's finding that four-quarter consistency and being able to probably evenly spread that type of performance. But, you know, he has his moments and he's so effective and dominant in those moments.
And he's shown throughout the talent league so far that I think he can do it for 4 quarters. So if he can do it at the higher level of the national championships, then that'll be a big testament to what he can do. Just a game of footy going on in the background as we record this. If you can see, hear some siren sounds through the microphones. Tell us about some other interstate boys, some others in some academies who performed well for the Allies.
Yeah, well, I'll touch on Nicholas Andreakio, bottom major. He'll play next year. Good Italian boy. But he was terrific off half-back for the Allies. He's a Sydney Swans Academy product. Provide really good movement through the corridor, always looking to provide some pace and some rebound. And he was terrific all day, hard at the contest, always provided some follow-up and really well-needed, I guess, vision out of D50 for the Allies when they were struggling in that. Probably that third quarter and start of the fourth to get some momentum back on their terms. Zeke Uhland from the Gold Coast Academy, he kicked 6 in a talent league game not too long ago. But, yeah, wow, he was all around it. He's just a really bouncy, agile, kind of played on in the mid but half forward a little bit. And, yeah, just composure. He plays, like, really low to the ground. And, you know, someone similar, we know Massimo Razzo from a Western Jets perspective, they play really low and they just know how to pick it up and kind of move their body, you know, with a low center of gravity. And I thought that was really, really well done on his behalf. But yeah, has some really bursty moments, held his width really well outside 50 and kicked a really lovely goal from 50 meters on the run in the second half. So a really, you know, neat and tidy, bursty, all of it performance from him.
The brother of Boddy Uhland, who's listed at the Gold Coast AFL at the moment, is Zeke. So certainly one to keep an eye on for Gold Coast supporters. We'll move across to South Australia. Probably a lot of interest in Sid Draper. There's been lots of talk about him in the lead up to this season and the early parts of the season. From your perspective, how did he go to start his carnival?
Yeah, it was terrific. And it's only his, I think, third game back for the season he played. He did play the SA's under-18 v under-20 game last week and a game before that. So he hasn't had a lot of footy to begin his year, but he was terrific and came into it, kind of picked up where he left off. That strength and pace, the acceleration out of the centre stoppages, he was really good. I thought early on he was a bit untidy with his handballs, probably just looking at getting it forward so much and then dish off that side handball when, you know, others weren't keeping up in that sense moving forward. But as the game went on, kicking improved. It was really neat, really good vision inside 50 late that set up a goal in the last quarter. So, yeah, it was a great opener for Sid Draper, I think. And I think he probably scratched the surface at what he's really capable of. I think he will have that real breakout game in these champs.
Yeah, a statement that we'll bookmark and certainly look back on with interest come the end of the championships is one that lots of people have got their eyes on as to the Camporeale twins, the father-son prospects. Tell us about how those two went.
Yeah, well, I think both had very strong finishes and strong starts as well. Where I question both is their general kicking, and that's what lets them down a lot. So I think both of them at the start were just a few kicks that were really off and we're stopping transition a little bit, but it's their ability around contest. They're very poised players. They know how to work it by hand and know where to run. Like, their running patterns are superb. It's probably those kicks sometimes that can let them down. But, yeah, they were instrumental late, and especially Ben, his metres gained off half-back were terrific to help provide that transition and really turned the momentum, I think, at points. And Lucas was good as well off that half-back position he's usually accustomed to. But, yeah, it was really good, positioned well down back and took a few intercept marks. And, it was pretty neat performances for both. I still think there's a lot of room for improvement, and they're probably, I don't think either of them probably sit in the top 20 at this point, but I think Ben's probably there or thereabouts, but still a lot of room for improvement in both their games.
High ceiling for both players, no doubt, with what we've seen from them already this season. Phoenix Hargrave is one who had a strong game as well. I know you're texting me quite a bit about him.
Yeah, well, Phoenix Hargrave's one I've quite enjoyed watching, and that's from a Sandful point of view as well. This is the under-18 competition. In terms of a player who you want second efforts, who will do all those little midfield intensity things right, that's what he does, and he did that again. His defensive efforts out of D50 were really, really good, and even when he moved forward as well, he was positioning himself well, got a few uncontested marks inside forward 50 from his work rate, and he's an intense, like he's a grunt midfielder, like always wants to win that ball, and I thought moving in transition he was good as well, lowering the eyes inside 50, a few good defensive intercepts late as well, and yeah, even in the dying stages, a kick out of D50 where a lot of the pressure was kind of coming on him, gets it out wide. I think this was with a minute left and they end up kicking that last goal through Tyler Welsh. So he's one that probably needs a bit more emphasis in his game to impact a little more when you compare him to someone like a Sid Draper for that instance, but he's still a very effective player with the little things he does, and I'm quite a big fan of defensive players just in general. Yep. Because it's such a big asset. Yeah,
as something that recruiters look on with interest. He touched on Tyler Welsh there. He came into it in the second half.
He 100% did. I mean, he had, I think, one touch, or it might have been none, up to half time. Just wasn't getting himself in the game, and then flicked the switch like that. And it was pretty much the opposite. I mean, sorry, not opposite, but you know what Josh Murphy did in that first quarter is what Tyler Welsh did in that second half, and he was impact per possession, got himself into good spots. That contested marking came to the fore, and even late in the, I think it was in the third quarter, just a really crafty goal where he's running towards goal, was able to shrug off an opponent, handball over to Noah Howes, who we'll talk about as mid-season draft prospect, and led to a goal, and then kicked that last goal of the game. Probably his easier one, where allies were just, you know, all over the place with that last 60 seconds and got his third goal, but really turned it on late. But that proves impact per possession player that might not have his moments early, but yeah, did everything well in that second half and finished with three goals.
No, very good. You touched on Noah Howes there. He and Evan Bradley both hit the scoreboard throughout the day.
For sure. I mean, I'll touch on Evan Bradley first. And in that first quarter, kicked their first two goals of the game, really crafty inside forward 50. Thought he was a little unlucky to not get in my top five in the end, because he was pretty effective. And if you compare him to someone like Tyler Welsh, the only reason I had Tyler Welsh in my top five was just that second half when SA were coming back strong. He was just there when they needed him. But you could also say Evan Bradley was there when they needed him in the first half. Like, allies were kicking away, but he just kept him in it and was really good, was creating space inside forward 50 and was getting off his opponent, doing all those small forward craft things that he needed to do to be impactful, and I thought he did that well. Noah Howes, yeah, mid-season draft prospect. I thought he was pretty good. Like, crafty in the sense where for a taller forward, he was able to move really, really well. Got a really good goal assist early in the game where he just kind of flicked a forward pass over the top to Charlie Nichols in the goal square, got himself into good spots inside 50, took contested marks, and then in the fourth quarter as well, another good contested mark and sort of a set shot when the game was on the line as well. So a really neat performance from Noah.
Any others from a South Australia perspective you want to touch on? Dyson Sharp has a pretty handsome stats line.
Yeah, well, Dyson Sharp, he does finish as my best for SA in the end. He's a bottom age product, and we'll see. If we're talking about Josh Smiley as, you know, that real beast in the midfield and that number one pick this year, can only imagine Dyson Sharp will be up there and about next year. But yeah, he was just busy around that midfield. Centre stoppage wise, he was just bursting out, and you notice him straight away. His vision just lights up, knows where to get rid of it, and even on D50 as well, he provides that rebound and that real bounce and pace that they needed to keep the ball moving forward, strengthen the contest, rips it out. One of those players who just knows how to use his body work so well. And yeah, he was terrific all day. Couldn't really fault a lot of what he did in the end. So pretty big performance from him. I'm going to read out my 5-4-3-2-1 votes. So we're going to do a collective Craft of the Draft National Championships medal, and We'll both watch some games, so there's games we're going to give an average of our votes collectively. But for the Allies, gave 5 votes to Leo Lombard, 4 to Sam Marshall, 3 to Daniel Annable, 2 to Nathaniel Sulzberger, and 1 to Josh Murphy. From SA, 5 to Dyson Sharp, 4 to Phoenix Hargrave, 3 to Sid Draper, 2 to Ben Camporelli, and 1 to Tyler Welsh. So that's the wrap for SA and Allies.
Yep.
A lot to go through there, but we haven't talked about SA on this podcast, and what you just heard will have been on a separate video on our channel as well. But I've done a lot of the talking.
Yeah,
your turn to do a lot of talking. You saw a lot more Talent League footy than me this week.
Yep.
But we'll start with the boys. Let's start from what you just watched. We'll start with Bendigo and Eastern. So Eastern got the job done in this one, and Bendigo were in with a sniff late. Talk us through it. And I'll lead you to the other question. Tell me about Easton's midfield to start, because that's always a general topic of conversation when we talk about Easton.
Yeah, Easton's midfield. It was a typical Josh Smiley performance. One, a slew of centre clearances was really strong around the ground. I guess the highlights were the moment this week was where he contested the ruck inside 50 Tom Hawkins style or Charlie Dixon style. There's a few in the AFL who do it. He just put his hand up, grabbed it out of the ruck against a more established ruck, someone who plays ruck as their primary position. He threw them out like a rag doll. He got it and he threw it on his boot and kicked the goal from 30. So those are the sort of things that Josh Smiley's starting to do for fun now and really establishing himself as that top pick. I thought Cody Anderson's first half was quite strong, and Christian Moraes worked his way into it in the second half. He had an inside 50 kick to Jack Ryan, I reckon, in the fourth quarter, which was really impressive off the outside of the boot with his momentum going the wrong way, which really showed his ability to hit targets and a diverse skill set. But yeah, those three certainly all had moments like we're accustomed to seeing from them. And Illero Smith is one who, I guess, we're used to seeing him playing the ruck, but he actually played up forward. Worth noting that.
Similar, Remy McLean, tell me about his game and big performance in terms of what's on stake in the next coming days.
Yeah, it certainly was. 3 goals, 2 he kicked in the first quarter, and then he kicked another one later in the day. But that first quarter, he was causing all sorts of issues for Bendigo. They had no one who were able to go with him. So a couple of those scores were from free kicks, and it wasn't as though, you know, they were soft free kicks, they were soft goals. He was actually getting himself on the move, being really proactive, and Bendigo had no way of stopping him. So if he didn't get the free kick, he would have taken the mark anyway. His ability to take the ball at the highest point and also understand where the midfielders are going to put it and run to the open areas was really impressive. I really liked what he did. And then as the game wore on, he got a few marks higher up the ground and was willing to empty out when he needed to as well. So a really strong performance that showed all aspects of his skill set, I thought, particularly overhead.
Tell me about Bailey Lloyd's performance. I know you quite liked the way he played. So I guess from an Eastern perspective, was he one that was a game winner in the sense, you know, look at it in four quarters? Was he one that stood out as a real tone setter for them?
Yeah, I think he was. A tone setter is a good word to use, because it was his repeat efforts that were really good, and that's what Eastern really needed to do throughout the day. Bendigo threw a massive challenge at them and they got out to 3 or 4 goal leads a couple of times, and Bendigo were able to reel it back with a 10-minute burst of momentum. But yeah, his effort on the wing and his ability to connect was really important on the day. I think the same could be said for Riley White, playing a slightly different position, but as strong a game as I've seen him play this year, arguably, and Lachie Monteith worked his way into it quite well as well.
Bendigo perspective, I'll start with the Vic Country aspirants of this team. I'll let you list through them, but I'll lead you with James Barrett.
And
look, the reality is his issue is the goal kicking. I mean, he should be kicking about bags of 6 every day. Yeah. And when he does, Lord help the rest of the competition. But tell me about his performance. Was it similar to what we've seen with his performances in terms of goal kicking wise?
Goal kicking wise is similar to what we've seen, because he got lots of chances, and unfortunately he finished the day with 4 goals, 6. So 10 shots on goal, and there are a few more he definitely should have had. If you look at them, you probably say 7-3 is a fair scoreline from the shots he had. There were some difficult ones in there, but by and large he would like to clean up his set shot goal kicking a little bit, but he was still quite comfortably Bendigo's best player on the ground. He did miss a couple of shots late, which would have given them a chance to snatch it when Easton did get out to a 22-point lead midway through that last quarter. But they wouldn't have even been in it if it wasn't for his presence up forward. He took contested marks for fun, and his aggressiveness at ground level is something that I think can get overlooked as well. But he's shown over a period of time now that he really attacks the ball and he's willing to lay some big tackles. Some other things that I noticed are he sets goals up. He set a couple of goals up, so his kicking inside 50 is really good. He knows as a key forward where he wants it when he wants to be leading and getting separation on the lead, and he puts it out in front of teammates. Excuse me. And he did that well on the day. He also led well on the day. So, yeah, his leading coming towards the kicker was really good as well. So he was able to get separation on his opponent. And we're used to him taking really big contested marks, but he was also able to get separation on his opponent. So a really good performance from him. He talked about the other Vic Country aspirants. Archer Day-Wicks worked his way into it. His second half was really strong, playing mostly in the midfield. I thought his overlap and drive was really good. And Toby Trevallio was typically staunch in defence and provided that run.
Is that all from that game?
Just a couple of bottom ages I wanted to touch on from a Bendigo point of view. I thought Sean Watson was really strong in the contest. The best game I've seen him play is a Mildura boy and one to keep a close eye on. I think he was an under-16s Vic Country representative, worked hard all day and laid some big tackles as well, including one on Josh Smiley. I think his second quarter was his best. And then Hunter Wright as well showed his skill set. He was really confident and stepped through traffic quite nicely. Ollie Poole up forward, I liked. He was hard to beat one-on-one.
Next game of today when we're recording this was Gippy and Sandy, and Gippy got the job done 10-8-68 to 7-8-50. That's Sandy's second loss in a row, but this is kind of typical season for Sandy. They'll drop off in the middle of the season with the players that are available. But I'll ask you from a Gippy perspective about Asher Easton. Tell me about his general performance, and yeah, brings that speed, that flair. Most of those Gippy have a few of those players, but tell me about his performance.
Yeah. 3 goals he kicked on the day and was matched up on Owen Bader quite a bit. And Owen Bader actually held his own quite well. I thought he won a few important one-on-ones. His intercepting was quite strong and he had a say for Sandy. But Asher Easton, when he does get it on a lead and get it presented in front of him, he's really hard to stop because he does have that size and he does have that speed that you talked about. So he was really prominent up forward, and I thought Archer Turlick was really prominent as well. Worth touching on Brody Atkins, who we've touched on a little bit throughout the season, a bottom major who's run through the midfield. He kicked a really nifty goal in the last quarter, which ended up being the match winner, or the match sealer certainly, from a Gippy perspective.
From a Sandy perspective, who were the few standouts that you saw in that game?
Yeah, I think that Lockie Voss played a really strong game. His ability to take the ball at its highest point, as people say, or his ability to take it with his arms fully outstretched was really impressive. Took some really solid intercept marks, as did Adrian Cole and Owen Bader, as I touched on. Jet Hayata in the second half was really, really important with his inside 50 kicking and his energy, and a really good story with Max Holt, who has been in the program since the start of last year, but been off the field with an ACL injury, continual delays, finally got back on the field, kicked a couple of goals and presented really well at the ball carrier as a 19-year-old coming back to the program this year. So, yeah, he showed a little bit as well, actually, in that second half. Ran the game out pretty well for his second game back from injury.
Good to hear. Oakley and Western was the other game on the Sunday. I'm not sure if you have anything. We are recording this on a Sunday, which is odd for us. Usually we record this on a Monday night, so we don't have stats yet, unless you have anything.
I don't have anything. I know they were really happy with Massimo Razzo and Christian Olivieri's performance, and Luca Grego continued on his strong form.
Well, we do apologise. We will touch more on Easton on next week, just the odd occasion this week. But I think the game we need to talk about is Tassie and Northern. And you sent me a tweet last night about Tassie, how it's the first time they've won 5 games since the Mariners era, which was over 20 years ago. And they actually now sit, they're first for the, well, equal first for the country, equal first in the league as well with Geelong. So they're on a bit of a roll. We know their top team probably won't win a premiership, but they're such a talented side in terms of depth, and they go through the regular season and they do go deep into finals naturally. They're just that team that always finds something. But they got up by 15 points against the Knights at Preston City Oval, which is always big on the road. But probably the one we have to talk about is Charlie Bovell, who kicked 5 goals as a 16-year-old. That's his first game at Devils level. That's pretty big, eh?
Yeah, outstanding. So you think about Tassie missing the Allies boys as well. And a shout out to David Ingram for that tweet as well, a Tassie historian who put that work together to get that tweet. But yeah, they're missing their allies boys, and one of those allies boys is Lenny Douglas, who's been a really bankable contributor on the scoreboard for them. You can always bank on him getting multiple goals. So to have someone like Charlie Beauville come in, a strongly built type player, and kick five goals is really important. He's played some senior footy for North Hobart, who are struggling in the Tassie State League. They're not kicking many goals. He's obviously a forward, so it's been tough going. But to play senior footy as a 16-year-old is a great experience. And then to play as a double bottom major in the talent league also shows how highly he is regarded down there. So it's good to see him going well. Harry Elmer is one they've been high on as well. And he finished with 28 and a goal, and probably his best performance of the season, standing up in the absence of some others.
For sure. The next game of the round, well, of the Saturday, was Murray, who defeated the Cannons by 1 point. I feel like the Cannons had a very similar result here last year. Do you remember? I feel like they had a very close finish, or maybe that was
there a kick
Northern.
After the siren? Was that the one?
Possibly. I just feel like these two teams have a bit of history up at the Wayne, at the showgrounds. But Murray by a point, pretty big. And Matt Wicklock, I guess, is the name to talk about there, with five goals from 14 touches. So pretty impactful performance ahead of, you know, a champs coming up.
Yeah, and good to see him and Jack Whitlock sharing the forward line. It's something we're not going to see a lot, because, you know, there's always one playing at one end of the ground, the other playing at the other end. Matt's usually the one playing in defence. So to come up forward and have such an impact is really good. Joe Berry, another multiple goal scorer, to continue pushing his case for the Vic Country squad, which we'll talk about next on the next podcast. But one worth touching on, Alex Swinnerdon went back. He gathered 28 disposals, I believe, and was really productive from an offensive standpoint, and played on Isaac Kakko. Kept him to 1.5. Kept him to 1.5, 6 shots, but was forcing him wide and really strong in his ability to put pressure on him every time he did get the ball, which did cause those rush shots. Kakko had a couple of opportunities late to try and steal it for Calder, who went down, like you said, by a point. Unfortunately, wasn't able to convert it. But yeah, Alex Winnerdon's pressure, which you've been big on all season, complemented his offensive output really well.
Yeah, 100%. Well, that's 10 rebound 50s to his name. And yeah, it's that pressure. And it's great he showed it against such a talented player as well, because I feel like he hasn't really been able to show it where he's been playing. He's had those moments, especially in transition. But, you know, that's terrific for him. And Damon Holloway, 21 and a goal. Good performance for him. And yeah, a few of these boys just kind of finding the right form ahead of a big championships coming up, which the two Vics play on the 9th of June. So still a bit of time, but yeah, big performances nonetheless. Geelong, GWV.
Yeah.
You watch this one. Yeah, Falcons too strong in this one. This was down in Warrnambool, down southwest of Victoria. Great for the local community. And yeah, the Falcons got up 82-46 in that one. Tell me a bit about the big standouts. I'll let you touch on Geelong first. And who stood up for them in that big win?
Yeah, Will McLaughlin. So you talk about Remy McLean playing a performance right when you want to play it as a mid-season draft prospect before the draft. He certainly did the same thing, kicking 6 goals 2 or 6 goals 3 for his team, and was a barometer all night up forward. 181 centimetres. We know how big his leap is, and it was just more of the same from him. When he's deep and he's one-on-one, he's almost impossible to stop, and he really makes the most of his opportunities, whether that be on the lead, from the set shot, or in general play. So he was the clear standout. Eden Ibbotson is one who continues to surprise me, but now he's putting together quite a solid block of form, and it's becoming a regular occurrence. So good to see him continuing on that strong form. And Noah Tulio is one that always just catches my eye with how clean he is. I know I've said that probably 10 times in the last 12 weeks, but yeah, every time he got the ball, he was able to hit a target because he buys himself that time with that polish.
That all from a Falcons perspective?
From a Falcons perspective, I think that about sums it up. Yep. And then from a GWV perspective, I really liked the game of Mitch Lloyd. I think that's the best game I've seen him play. We're used to seeing him win one-on-ones, take intercept marks and that sort of thing. But he got a fair bit more of the footy and was able to get involved a little bit more on offense. It was a difficult day. It was a little bit of a rugged old night for GWV. They weren't able to hit the scoreboard as regularly as they would have liked. But when they did have some forward thrusts, he was able to get involved. And I really liked what I saw from him. Again, typically really strong one-on-one and was also strong on offense as well. Jack O, really good. And then also your typical performance from Harry Charlson and Ollie Hannaford.
Yeah, well, it's tough going for the Rebels at the moment, and it probably will continue like that for a little while until they get a few of their main boys back. But I'll run you through the ladder before we move through to the girls. Geelong, Tassie and Eastern sit on 20 points up at the top, so a bit of a change-up. Sandy, you're off the top for the first week of the competition. Sandy, Northern, Murray, Gippy, Bendigo, Calder all sit on 16 points. Western jump to 10th because they've kind of been sitting in that bottom three. Dandy on 10, Rebels and Oakley on 4. And as always, they have not all played the same amount of games, yep. So there's a bit of discrepancy there. Eastern lead the Metro Conference and Country at Geelong lead the Country Conference. But let's move through to the girls. And I'm going to touch on the games you watched very closely on the weekend. And it was Murray and Calder was the first one. And I know you had some strong opinions on the umpiring of this game. And yeah, Murray got very close. And I think it's we want to see Murray get that. I mean, Calder got their first win as well. So great that Calder got their first win. But we know Murray typically have more of the struggle throughout the year. So they were very close to that win. But tell me a bit about the game, and then I'll come back to me and I'll let you run through some of the girls that you want to talk about. But what was the general gist of that game? Because, yeah, Murray losing by 10 points, that's a pretty strong effort from him.
Yeah, it was a really high-quality game. So that's really good to see from a talent league perspective that you see two of the sides that have been weaker so far to start the season be able to fight out a game like that. And it wasn't a scrap. It was actually really free-flowing, and girls were able to really show off their skill sets and show off their weapons. So that was really pleasing to see. The overall synopsis would be that Murray dominated the first half, probably deserved to be a little bit further in front. I really liked what I saw from them. They fought really hard, and their ball movement was really fluent. And then Calder responded in a big way in the second half, and Murray just weren't able to stop them, unfortunately, from a Bush Rangers perspective. When they got a run on and they got that territory, they were able to generate enough scoring shots, and they did have the talent to convert.
A lot to run through with these Murray girls. I'll start with Holly Egan, she's this year. Tell me a bit about her game, and she's been probably their most consistent performer across the first 2 months of football, but what does make her game stand out? And when we talk about a general draft sense, what's draftable about her? And this was a game where she was really able to show what she's capable of.
Yeah, I think on the day something which stood out was just, that class difference that she does have on some of her teammates and some of her opponents. And that came down to her kicking efficiency, I think, first and foremost. She was able to hit targets. She made really good decisions, and she put it where teammates wanted it, not necessarily two teammates, out in front of teammates, allowed them to get the separation on the lead and take marks. Herself, when she was having the ball kicked to her, she was really strong aerially, took a couple of contested marks and was really reliable overhead. And the other thing is, just with that class that she does have and the skill set to sort of step around opponents, she's really calm, doesn't make bad decisions with ball in hand, and doesn't get flustered either. So her ability to step in and out of traffic and find space and then take some meters was really crucial for the Bush Rangers.
Maddie Ibrahim, just kind of keeping on this 06 range, and then we'll expand out. But
yeah.
Same sort of question. Where'd she go well, and why was she one of their best?
Yeah, I thought she was really aggressive at ground level. She was willing to crack in hard when there was a contested footy to be won, and was fearless over the footy. And then when she did get it, her inside 50 kicking was really good. I particularly think about the first half, probably her better half. When they did get a fair few shots on goal, she was putting it on a platter for her forwards.
Tell me about the Dodd girls. Now, they've got a pretty big family, the Dodd family, but Rain and Constance were the two that were playing in this one. Destiny was part of their squad last year. I think she's 19 now. But, tell me about the Dodd girls, because, great family there. And how'd those two girls go? And what's the general gist of that family? How do they play football?
Yeah, so one plays up one end and the other plays up the other end. So Rain Dodd was the one who caught my eye first with what she provided up forward. And then Constance down back was probably, across the day, the more consistent performer. But I'll start with Rain Dodd. I thought her speed was really eye-catching. So when she does get the ball, she's really dangerous. She's hard to pin down because she does have that acceleration and that burst. And she used it really well. It's one thing to have it, but she was actually able to use it to her team's advantage. Her run and carry and evasiveness was really important. She was involved in a lot of scores. I'm not sure if she got on the end of one in the end, but certainly she set a couple up, and she was really crafty as well. Constance Dodd in defensive 50 was really important, particularly late. There are a few times where Calder were up by a goal or a couple of goals in the last quarter and the ball came in and it looked like they were very close to kicking that absolute sealer, and she was able to get back in the hole and did that really courageously, going back with the fly to the footy. And then she also backs herself to break away from traffic, which is something that was really evident on the day when Calder did start to get the territory, that it did become a little bit of a stoppage heavy game at times. She was trying to burst it forward for Murray, and I thought she did that generally pretty well. Her spoiling was another feature.
Peyton Johnson, top ager, and Nikita Spiteri, yep, bottom ager. Tell me about those two, and then I'll let you finish with the 08 girls, who were pretty spectacular, but tell me about those two.
Yeah, I'll start with Nikita Spiteri, who I thought just got to dangerous spots throughout the day, particularly in that first half. Her pressure's quite good as well, but yeah, she knows where to position herself when the game is on Murray's terms to really impact. And Peyton Johnson was really good on the lead. I talked about some of the girls inside 50 kicking, in particular Maddie Ibrahim. She waxed really well with Peyton Johnson at times. She was able to get that separation from her opponent and led into space, took some really nice marks.
Well, now the 08 girls, so still a couple more years left on these girls, but Majella Day, Rose Bell, Sophia Green. Majella Day is probably at the top of that list in terms of she's been touted pretty highly for the last, you know, 6-12 months, really. And
yep,
she's already still very young in her football career, still a lot of development left, but a big day out for her. And then obviously, yeah, Rose and Sophia as well. So tell me about what's the future look like for those three.
Yeah, I'll start with Majella Day. She was outstanding in the first quarter, kicked a couple of goals early. I think she finished with 3. But yeah, her contested marking is what sets her apart. You think about that with Ash Centra doing it better than probably anyone else in the draft crop this year and anyone we've seen in the talent pathways in recent times. Majella Day has that similar ability about her, that she's just got that strength and ability to out-position and out-muscle an opponent. And she's really smooth moving when the ball does hit the ground. She didn't finish with as many touches as I would have thought, but every time she does get it, she backs herself to step around some tacklers and hits her targets, and is also capable of taking contested mark, which is really important. She's a GWS Academy product, already has a 5-goal haul this season, and I expect that at some stage she'll do it again. It's just a matter of piecing it together for a full game for her, but obviously she's still so young, yeah, and there's still so much development left with her. She's certainly an exciting prospect. Rose Bell, I thought, was probably their most consistent and important player across the course of the day. She was really tough to get past in defence, positioned herself in the corridor, so that meant she was guarding dangerous territory, and she was a strong intercepting presence and also excellent in the contest. And Sophia Green was strong and composed as well. She was clean in traffic and finished with 27-1. So, yeah, a really good day for Murray despite the result going against them.
Now the winning team.
Yeah.
Calder, yeah, tell me about who stood up for them and got their first win of the year.
Yeah, Cameron Bucks was the clear standout, finished with the 16 disposals, but her read of the play was really impressive, and I thought that was most evidenced by an intercept from a kick-in that she got in the third quarter, where she was able to take the intercept mark, shrug off a couple of tacklers, and then finish on the run from 35. I thought that showed everything she did across the day. Her strength in close, she was really silky, and she reads the cues of the kickers really well as well. Her pressure was really important for the Cannons. Ali Spegan, also really strong in the ruck. Her penetrating kick is something which really stands out in the game, and her ruck craft was, as usual, really important. Ava Gerrata kicked 3 of her team's goals, including the match winner, couple of big contested marks, and then a goal from a ground level gather, which was really silky. And Grace as a party as well in defence looks to understand that role really well. Has had a pretty strong season for them and took another strong step forward with her game, her intercepting and calmness, both features.
Bendigo and Eastern now. This is the other one you watched. And, yeah, Eastern got a hold of this game pretty quickly. And I feel like it was probably expected. That's probably where the class difference is,
yep,
with Metro and Country here. But, yeah, Eastern won by 88. I'll let you talk about Eastern's forwards first. And
yep,
I talked about them last week in that big win against Tassie.
Yeah.
Talk about the likes of Georgie Brisbane. Was that form transferred?
Yeah, so I watched the first half of this game. I didn't watch the second half, and we don't have access to the stats, so I don't know exactly how many she finished with, yep, but she did have a few goals on the board early. And yeah, it was just her strength overhead. Hopefully it's a performance that she can take some confidence from going into the more important part of the year, I suppose, because yeah, she was excellent up forward for them. She was playing as the deepest and no one was able to stop her. So really good, used her size well. Stacia Stevenson kicked a couple of goals in the first quarter. Her spatial awareness was a real standout and her poise at ground level. And then Georgia Knight as well. Her energy and her work rate were massive for Eastern as they opened up a 41-point quarter-time lead, I believe. But, yeah, credit to Bendigo for pulling that back because that looks like it could get really ugly, and Bendigo were able to pull that back in the second half.
Others from an Eastern perspective?
Yeah, Evie Parker, I thought her overlap was really strong. She's been really good for them on the wing so far this season and gained a lot of metres when Bendigo did look to go forward. And then also Asher Fernwannon guarded that dangerous territory as well. When they looked to come out, those hat kicks out, she was intercepting and positioned herself in the corridor.
Well, we'll move on to the next game that we weren't able to see. Well, we don't have the stats for them yet, but Gippy, geez, this was dominant. 81-17 against the Dragons, which is, you know, like a massive result for them and the country region in general. But yeah, apologise, we will definitely touch on that in the next episode because that is a massive win for them. And
yeah, Abby Hobson kicked 3 goals, the contested marking forward, so that's good to see.
Big, and they're actually first in the country conference now, which is big for them. But yeah. Next game, Falcons, pretty similar score actually to the boys, that 176-34. I know you got a few of their best there, but yeah, Sarah Howley looked like she turned it on with 36 and a goal.
Yeah, she did from a Geelong perspective, which was really good to see. I will start with the GWV girls, though, because it's good to see them really competing after they did have a toughish start to the season. And I think, yeah, it was, again, Elise Cook, and I talked about her last week. She was good again. Maggie Johnston off half forward showed lots of work ethic, and then also Millie Lang, as we're used to seeing, produced another strong outing. From a Geelong perspective, some of their better players, Mika Morrissey backed up last week, 24 disposals and a goal. Hayley Peck is starting to become a really bankable contributor for them, and then Stella Huxtable as well, bottom major.
Tassie got up by 7 points against the Northern Knights, a big win away from home. And I swear every time I don't watch Tassie, they have the performance of their life, which is frustrating because they have some very talented players. Yeah. And speaking of talented players, they have a read finished with 3 goals from 7 touches. So very big impact per possession player. Misha Barwin, again, a backed up her strong performance from last week. 2 goals, 16 touches and 6 inside 50s. And Harriet Binley, 2 goals and 13 touches. Northern perspective.
A Northern perspective, it was the Hargreaves sisters who were really strong and Holly Ridewood as well, who, was really good in the wet last week, talked about her and, obviously an easier day for footy and she was able to produce once again, which was really positive to see.
Dandy in Sydney was it's the last game that's been played this round, but there's actually Western and Northern Territory to happen during the week, which we did tip last episode if you haven't heard that one.
Yeah.
But Dandy, did we both not back them? I definitely didn't back them.
Yeah, I didn't back them. So, yeah, no, that's it's a good win. To see them.
48-34, they got up against the Swans Academy.
Yeah, a really pleasing performance from all reports from Talia Sanger, who spent some time on the sidelines with an ACL injury. Just her second match back, I think, finished with the 17 disposals and was one of their best players. And then Gemma Reynolds and Kayla Dalgleish going into the national championships is starting to really piece together a strong start to the season. Zoe Basanko kicked a couple of really timely goals to open up a bit of a buffer for the Stingrays when the game was on the line. So that was good to see, but that wraps up the... We'll go to the tips now.
We'll go to the ladder first. But yeah, Oakley and Eastern lead with 20. Gippy, Northern, Geelong, Tassie, Dandy all on 16. Bendigo and Sandy on 12. So they've both slipped a little of those teams down the ladder. Rebels on 8. Calder got their first win. They're on 4. And Western and Murray still searching for their first win. I'd like to back Western in this game against the NT.
Yeah.
You'd hope. Oakley lead Metro. Country still tight. Gippy, Geelong, Tassie, Dandy on. Bendigo, Rebels, Murray. I'm going to make my big call. I don't think this country conference top 4 changes, as in the top 4, not the actual positions, but would you back that?
Read out the top 4 again.
Gippy, Geelong, Tassie, Dandy, Bendigo, Rebels, Murray. I think Bendigo are the only team who will probably have a genuine chance of jumping back in unless the Rebels kind of get an unexpected win. They're just sitting that one game out.
Yeah, I'm not quite prepared to say that just yet, because one I didn't touch on before from a Bendigo perspective was really strong was Lou Painter, absolutely outstanding in a losing cause. Her power, her repeat efforts, her class, her ability to step through traffic and her smarts, all really, really important when, yeah, the going was tough from Bendigo perspective. And they've got some others like Jamaica Douglas and Sasha Pierce as well, so probably not quite prepared to say that just yet, but yeah, certainly one to keep an eye on. And good to see Gippsland going well. But we'll move to our tips. We'll start with the girls this week. GWV have the Stingrays at Mars.
Dandy.
Same. Bendigo versus Gippsland.
This is a tough one. This is your top four game. This is winner. It's so early. But I'll say Gippy off their form.
Yeah, so will I. Oakley versus Geelong at Warrawee.
This will be a very good matchup, I reckon. This kind of shows you where Geelong's midfield is at compared to those top Metro teams. I'll still say Oakley at home.
As will I. Tassie have Sandy down at Dial Park in the Apple Isle.
Yeah, danger game for Sandy. If they give up the same performance they did, I'd say Tassie might do this pretty comfortably.
Yeah, I've got Tassie as well. And then Murray, Murray have got the Northern Territory Academy, who will firstly play with the Western Jets and then have got the three-day break.
You'd probably lean towards Murray because the Academy would have just played 3 days earlier. So certainly. I'll say Murray.
As will I. And then we move to the boys' side of things, and the first game is Western versus Northern at DSV Stadium.
Western.
Yeah, I'm probably thinking the same.
Northern got him in round one, but I think, Northern's out. I'd say Western.
Yeah, some strong form, deceivingly strong. They've had some tight losses as well. GWV versus Dandenong.
Dandy.
Yep. Tassie versus Sandy.
Tassie. Six in a row if they win this.
Yeah. Big. Yeah, they will have their allies boys out, though.
They will, but, I mean, did that matter? You'd probably argue that Northern's
possibly
lesser
stronger.
Team is stronger than Sandy's lesser team. So, yeah, Tassie.
Calder have Oakley at Windy Hill.
Calder.
Yep. Yep, a good opportunity for some of those boys to continue showing some strong form. Murray versus Geelong at Highgate.
This will be close. Geelong.
I'm going to go Murray. And Bendigo versus Gippsland at La Trobe Uni, the second part of a doubleheader.
Bendigo.
Yeah. Bendigo will bounce back. They were really promising against Eastern and, very close to causing an upset against the Metro side.
Well, that wraps it up. Thank you all for listening. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday night, mid-season draft is happening. But if you want to hear what we did think of the boys who could have got drafted or have got drafted by now, go listen to the episode last night where we do go through some of our top CTL mid-season draft prospects. Thank you all for watching. We'll be back next week, and Allies WA is on the agenda for the next Champs Games and go through another round of CTL and hopefully get a Vic Country squad as well to go through. But thank you all for watching. Check out our socials for more, and we'll see you in the next episode.